We're going to start off tonight with some really good news. Strongsville International Adoption Agency was raided by the FBI. Here's why. The FBI has confirmed to Channel 3 News that they executed a raid on Strongsville International Adoption Agency Tuesday morning. Back in December, the U.S. Department of State debarred European Adoption Consultants, or EAC, from continued operations citing a pattern of serious, willful, or grossly negligent failure to comply with standards for international adoption. On Tuesday, the FBI raided their offices and the home of its founder, but they wouldn't elaborate on the nature of the raid, other than to say they were executing a warrant. Among the allegations by the State Department, the EAC failed to adequately supervise preventing the sale, abduction, exploitation, or trafficking of children, and they failed safety procedures that prevent solicitation of bribes, fraudulently obtaining birth parent consent to get the children here. The organization posted on their website in December, despite the fact that we disagree with many, if not most, of the statement and are considering the option of appeal, we still have to make a plan to transfer of all cases by the end of this month. The organization can no longer transact any adoptions, which they indicate left several families in limbo. Well, I'll tell you what, it would appear as though there was a human trafficking operation going on. And the FBI is doing its job. Now, of course, think back to just last week when Trump signed a human trafficking executive order. Think about what's going on right now. We're seeing a lot of these incidences pop up in the news. Something massive is going on. I mean, there was over, I think, within the past week and a half, 500 people arrested for trafficking or pedophilia or related to pedophilia. That's really, really, really good news, folks. Really good news. Something big is going on right now. We're not seeing the whole picture with it all. But I'm really considering that this might actually have to do with Pizzagate. And you really got to wonder, just how big is Pizzagate? How big is it? We've seen journalists totally shut down by mainstream media. One of them was Ben Swan. Where did Ben Swan go? He just went back to his day job. He no longer could do his investigative journalism anymore. Why? Was it a threat? What was it? Was he paid? Was he bribed? How big is this thing? How big is it? That's the question. And I think a lot of people are getting the point that we're really witnessing some internal warfare going on right now within the administration, within the White House, within the government. Our government is divided, totally divided. There's a lot of dramas, and there's a lot of covert warfare. Kellyanne Conway was banned from Morning Joe. Now, I don't watch Morning Joe. I don't know if you guys do, but I just thought this was rather interesting because it's proving a point. The rift, the division between Trump and the mainstream press. They're at war. But it's not just the mainstream, fake stream press. It's the CIA. It's individuals within the clandestine services that they're at war with. Now, listen, you all know that we are not pro-Trump. As I said before, we will watch, and if he does something good, then of course we'll report on it. If he does something bad, we're also going to report on it. But what we're witnessing right now is a massive internal covert warfare operation. And whoever is behind it all, they're pushing back pretty hard, as we can see. Instead of engaging directly in covert warfare out of sight, the individuals who are involved in the CIA or the clandestine services, they're trying to sway the public's opinion. Which is why the Illuminati and the agenteurs of the Illuminati bought the press. And when they bought the press, they then issued propaganda. And then, of course, the government legalized propaganda under the NDAA. So what they're doing here is we're seeing so many organizations pop up that are anti-Trump administration, that are anti-freedom. And I'm not trying to make a direct connection between Trump and freedom. I'm just saying, because a lot of them are tied directly to communism and socialism, that's the side that it is. Now, I know that was a little tangent, so I apologize, but hang on. So we have the agentur of the Illuminati, who is behind the mainstream press. And instead of engaging in covert warfare behind the scenes, we're actually seeing it being brought to sway the public's opinion. And when they begin to sway the public's opinion, well, then we have things like riots and protests. And it's all based on bias rather than fact. And this division cannot stand, because eventually it leads to discord and distress, and then civil war and unrest. Now, from my opinion and from my research, now I'm not trying to call Trump anything yet, don't jump your guns, just listen. From our research, they own both sides. We have yet to see how this is all going to play out. Now, we also know for a fact that nothing is going to stop, doesn't matter who is in the White House, nothing is going to stop God's plan and God's agenda, which is all laid out for us in the Bible. But before we get into that part of this, let's continue. The war. See, we're seeing it. The war. They're actually calling this a war between Donald Trump and the mainstream media. Escalated Wednesday morning when MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski declared that Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway will no longer be invited onto the popular morning show Morning Joe. She's not credible anymore. Well, who is to say she isn't credible? Conway became persona non grata after a difficult few days for the senior advisor. As National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's resignation unfolded this week, Conway repeatedly contradicted statements from the White House and appeared out of the loop. And appeared, here's the key question, what if it was designed? What if they don't want you to know what's all going on? Because there's so many leaks. She was also scolded by the Office of Government Ethics for promoting Ivanka's Trump clothing line on Fox News. Brzezinski's had enough. Every time I've ever seen her on television, something is askew, off, or incorrect. This morning, Brzezinski said that Conway will no longer be interviewed on Morning Joe, so long as Brzezinski... It's giving people dishonesty. It's not worth the interview. Joe Scarborough, Brzezinski's co-anchor, agreed. She goes out and lies, and you find out about those lies a couple of hours later, Scarborough said. Conway is out of the loop and absent from key meetings within the administration. She's just saying things just to get in front of the TV set and prove her relevance, he said. Behind the scenes, she's not in these meetings. This is not the first time a mainstream news outlet has declined to book Conway. 2 weeks ago, Comedy News Network, or the CNN, decided not to book her on State of the Union, citing serious questions about her credibility. Well, you know, I got a lot of questions about the CNN's, or I don't know why I'm saying the CNN, CNN's credibility. They're fake news. They push fake stories all the time. But anyways, before we get off track with calling people fake news and things, obviously, we're focused on the rift and exposing what this rift is. Let's keep going, because it gets worse. Trump knew for weeks that aid was being misleading over Russia, White House. U.S. President Donald Trump knew for weeks that National Security Advisor Michael Flynn had misled the White House about his contacts with Russia, but did not immediately force him out. An administration spokesman said on Tuesday, Trump was informed in late January that Flynn had not told Vice President Mike Pence the whole truth about conversations he had before Trump took office with Russia's ambassador to the United States, White House spokesman Sean Spicer said. Pence learned of the incomplete information that he received from Flynn when news reports surfaced late last week. Spokesman Mark Lauder said on Tuesday, Flynn quit on Monday after Trump asked for his resignation, and the president hopes to pick a new national security advisor by the end of the week, Spicer said. The departure was another disruption for an administration already repeatedly distracted by miscues and internal dramas since the Republican businessman assumed the presidency on January 20th. Now, wait a minute. We're not witnessing necessarily internal dramas. We're seeing covert warfare. And shots are firing from both sides all day and all night. And Let me just keep reading, okay? The New York Times reported late on Tuesday that members of Trump's campaign and other associates had contact with senior Russian intelligence officials in the year before the November 8th presidential election, although U.S. officials told the newspaper they had not uncovered any evidence that Trump's associates colluded to disrupt the election. Here is that article here. Trump campaign aides had repeated contacts with Russian intelligence, but in the Reuters article, it appears as though that there's not really any evidence that Trump's associates colluded to disrupt the election. Let me go back here. Okay. Trump's campaign and other associates had contact with senior Russian intelligence officials in the year before the November 8th presidential election, although U.S. officials told the newspaper they had not uncovered any evidence that Trump's associates colluded to disrupt the election. But of course, they're pushing that motive, that narrative, right with the title. Phone records and intercepted calls show that members of Donald J. Trump's 2016 presidential campaign and other Trump associates had repeated contacts with senior Russian intelligence officials in the year before the election, according to four current and former American officials. American law enforcement and intelligence agencies intercepted the communications around the same time they were discovering evidence that Russia was trying to disrupt the presidential election by hacking into the Democratic National Committee. Three of the officials said the intelligence agencies then sought to learn whether the Trump campaign was colluding with the Russians on the hacking or other efforts to influence the election. The officials interviewed in recent weeks said that so far they had seen no evidence of such cooperation. There's no evidence of cooperation. Now, they're saying that they had communications, but there's no evidence of such cooperation. Then where is the evidence that they had communication? You see the covert warfare here? It was mentioned right in the first, the second paragraph. Intelligence agencies. American law enforcement. Who? Can we learn who? Is it CIA or who? Russian spy ship spotted close to U.S. near Navy submarine base. The Russian spy ship Viktor Leonov on Wednesday morning was spotted 40 miles closer to the U.S. and not far from a Navy submarine base in Connecticut, a U.S. official told Fox News. The ship was spotted 30 miles south of Groton, Connecticut, but it remained in international waters. The U.S. territory boundary extends 12 miles from the coast. The Russian spy ship was currently loitering in the water, the U.S. official said. We are aware of the vessel's presence, said Lieutenant Colonel Valerie Henderson, a Defense Department spokeswoman. It has not entered U.S. territorial waters. We respect freedom of navigation exercised by all nations beyond the territorial sea of a coastal state consistent with international law. The spy ship is armed with surface-to-air missiles, but its main functions is to intercept communications and collect data on U.S. Navy sonar capability. This was the furthest north the Viktor Leonov had ever traveled up the eastern seaboard. The Russian spy ship was last seen off of the coast of, east coast of the U.S. about 2 years ago, spending time near another U.S. submarine base in Kings Bay, Georgia. In January 2015, the ship was seen in Havana, Cuba. Russia is acting like it has permission a permission slip to expand influence, test limits of reach. Questions are obvious. Does it? And if so, why? That was by Chris Murphy. The Pentagon expects the Russian spy ship to sail south along the East Coast and return to the Caribbean. The deployment of Viktor Leonov was months in the making. Fox News was told the ship is part of Russia's Northern Fleet based along the Barents Sea. The ship crossed the Atlantic and made a port call in Jamaica in the past few weeks, according to officials. So why in the world is a Russian spy ship, I imagine, spying on our intelligence agencies? Why? If they're colluding and working together, why are they still spying on each other? Is it just for appearances? Because, I mean, if they were really colluding, you probably wouldn't want to be seen, obviously. But something strange is going on with all of these stories, reports. Something is going on. And whether it be with the Trump administration or the mainstream media, we have yet to find out. And what I mean is, what's the motive? What is the end game? Obviously, it is about massive division. So where does division lead to? Let me know what you guys think in the comments. China deploying troops at North Korea border after assassination. February 15th, UPI. The assassination of Kim Jong-un's older half-brother at an airport in Malaysia has placed China on alert, and Beijing may have deployed more troops at its border with North Korea in case of a contingency. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Zheng Shuang told reporters at a regular press briefing on Wednesday that his government is paying attention to reports regarding the slaying of Kim Jong-nam. South Korean news agency Yonhap reported, "We are very interested in the progress of the case," the spokesman said, while adding that he cannot confirm whether Kim's family resides in Macau, a special administrative region of China. Kim Jong-nam, who is 45, is believed to have had two families in China, according to Seoul's National Intelligence Service. His first wife and their son live in Beijing, while a second spouse lives with two children and a son and a daughter in Macau. China fears instability as its shared border with North Korea. The news may be behind a Beijing decision to increase the number of troops at the border, according to the Information Center for Human Rights and Democracy, a non-governmental organization in Hong Kong. Here we go again. A report has now come out that the DOD is considering recommending ground troops for Syria. This is obviously, a continuation of the Syrian crisis. And as we've just heard Assad say, U.S. forces for many years have not been helping out at all. The Pentagon is reportedly considering proposing President Trump send conventional ground combat forces into northern Syria for the first time to help speed up the fight against the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS. It's possible that you may see conventional forces hit the ground in Syria for some period of time, one Defense Department official told CNN Wednesday. A Pentagon spokesman told The Hill the department has seen the report but declined to comment. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer also declined to comment to reporters. Right now, about 500 U.S. Special Operation Forces are authorized to be in Syria, though the exact number on the ground fluctuates. But the United States hasn't yet sent conventional forces into Syria. Doing so would significantly increase the U.S. presence in a country with a battlefield complicated by its own civil war. CNN said U.S. officials are characterizing the idea as a point of discussion, not a formal proposal. So, are we about to witness our troops now going into Syria, after all this time? You know what? There's something to this Syrian crisis, and it has much more to do with prophecy than what in the world the mainstream media is talking about. Of course, we know about the destruction of Damascus, and we've seen the destruction of Damascus. And of course, we saw Albert Pike's letter that World War III would basically come about because of the Islamic forces versus the Zionist forces. And of course, they control both sides. There is an agentur in the Illuminati who is baiting and playing both sides. Whether it be two agents or multiple or whatever have you, obviously it'd be multiple. This is what's going on. Now, how is this all going to play out? That's still the question. It hasn't really blown up into this massive, massive literal war called World War III yet. But it's brewing. The conflicts, the shifting alliances. We're seeing this play out. And of course, we all need to be paying attention to exactly what's going to take place with it. I would like to thank you all for watching and listening. Let us know what you think in the comments. God bless and carry on.